Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Leadership Lean In podcast. We are so grateful that you would take time to join us today. We are live in Los Angeles, the greatest city in the whole world. I just first want to say thank you to everybody that has subscribed and shared and talked about, posted about Leadership Lean In the podcast. In fact, I was in another state this last week. The guy who was hosting me, driving me, said, "Hey, man, just want to let you know, I love Leadership Lean In. I listened," and he listed all the episodes he's listened to. And he's like, "I love it." I thought, wow, that means the world. It means the world to hear such good, positive feedback. So thank you. Make sure you subscribe on Spotify, on Apple Music, iTunes, or of course, the great YouTube. Okay, we're going to jump right in. This is going to come out next Wednesday. We're filming it a week before. And the day that it comes out, we're going to be having a webinar called, drumroll please, hope you listen to this in time to sign up, Turning Your Awkward Into Your Genius, which is one of the titles of the chapter of Help I Work With People. The chapter is actually called Awkward Is a Gift. But we're going to turn your awkward into your genius. Everyone is made so specifically, so uniquely. And so I think it's going to be an incredible webinar. If it's not too late, sign up and join us for today's webinar. Okay, let's jump right in. Today we're talking about signs that you get it. Now, there are certain people, there are certain leaders that's like, whew, that guy or that girl, they just get it. They have such a high IQ of leadership, such a high IQ of, in my cul-de-sac ministry, it's like they just get it. I'll never forget, growing up, I played basketball, and one of my coaches, he was telling me after a game one time, he said, "You know, your basketball IQ is so high." Now, this is a self-compliment story, just, it's for illustration, just bear with me. He said, "I think you're going to be better actually after high school than you are in, because of your IQ, your ability to see where the game is going, where people should be on the floor, where the ball should move. You have a high basketball IQ. I think in whatever field you serve in, whatever industry you dominate, having a high IQ, just signs that you get it. You don't want to be, have you ever seen on Monday Night Football how they have the segment, come on, man. Keyshawn Johnson and the guys, they'll go through all the bonehead plays and the guys, you know, they were offsides or they didn't catch the ball. You know, just bonehead plays, and it's, they go, come on, man. You don't want to be the person in your field, your profession, your work office that everyone's always saying, come on, man. So there's signs that you get it, or signs that you clearly do not understand. So I'll give you some, you're like, what about me? How do I know? These are some signs of people that get it. You just flat out get what life is about, what leadership's about, what we're about. You understand what this whole thing, this ecosystem called leadership, is all about. Signs that you get it. I'm going to give you 7 signs. Number one, you're extremely honoring. Whenever I'm around somebody that's honoring, I'm like, you just get it. You get the power of honor. You realize honor is so powerful, it can literally unlock someone's full potential. You can draw out someone's best, or you can lock up their greatness. That's the power of honor. And so whenever I'm around someone that's honoring, by the way, it's always good to honor the past. Never be the leader that just uses people to get to where you are, and then you're trying to find someone new to step on to get even further. That will create a very bad reputation for you. Always honor those that got you to where you need to be. Honor the relationships. Honor, you know, I always honor the genesis of a relationship. I'm always very mindful to go, I know so-and-so through so-and-so, and I always want to make sure the origin or the genesis of the relationship feels very honored, that they introduce me to somebody that I'm now close with or someone that's really helped me. It's just the spirit of honor. It's gratitude, really. And so always, whenever I'm around somebody that honors, I'm like, I don't know who showed you that. I don't know who taught you that, but you get it. And people that don't honor, I'm like, come on, man. Are you for real? You're not on, because lack of honor is really disrespect. You can't be a great leader and be disrespectful. It just never goes hand in hand. Number two, you're a great communicator. You see the value in communication. And I always think great communicators, they communicate very good in the person, in person, on the spot, and then after. Let me explain. So they're very good, like in real time. Remember, most of leadership is kind of like impromptu. You just kind of like on the go. You get asked a question, there's a problem, there's something that happens, and it's just like, I just got to answer it right now. I don't have time to think. I don't have time. I got asked to do something I don't want to do. I got to go somewhere I don't want to go. I got to field something I just didn't see coming today. Most of leadership is not scheduled or planned. It is while in transit. And so you got to be good just like right in the moment. I'm fine that most leaders are good once they resolve, but I want your knee-jerk reaction to be fantastic. That is just like, you know what? I kind of always live on. I'm always ready. It's amazing. One of my good friends, Jason Kennedy, hosts, you know, E! News and incredible host for the red carpet and Grammys and Oscars. Just the funniest, kindest, greatest person of all time. But the other day we were somewhere and someone just threw it to him and goes, Jason, you're live on X station, this situation, go. And he just, boom, just crushes it. And I just marveled at his gift, but you know how long he's trained? He'll always post these videos of like him at 12, 16, practicing in his garage, practicing in his basement. He has trained himself to be so good. Leadership IQ is training yourself to, now that you're in the moment, you're good in real time and after. So I always think great communicators, they communicate now and they communicate later. So I want, if you, we go to dinner and you pick up the check, I'm going to look at you and go, oh my gosh, you are such a gem. Are you kidding me? You picked up the check. I want to thank you very adequately in real time, in person, but I'm going to follow up with a text afterwards and just say, hey, so I'll let you know, I am very, very thankful that you picked up that bill. I don't want to just communicate well in person, but always after as well. That's a great communicator. Number three, you're committed to your community. That's how I know. Anybody that's not committed to their community, I'm like, come on, man. Are you real? All you have is your community. Here's a great leadership lesson. The people I am building with, I am living life with. You show me anybody that's building or working with a group, but lives life with another group, and I'll show you tension. I'll show you pull. I'll show you two desires. A house divided cannot stand. It's very hard to lead when my community and who I'm building with are separate. No, who I'm building with, I'm living with. We're raising our kids together. We're helping each other together. We're on the process. We're in the journey. We're in the struggle. We can celebrate the good, the bad, and the ugly because we're not just building stuff together. We're maturing together. We're growing together. We're laughing together. We go through hard times together. We go through good times together. This will take you so far because the law of opposite of this is I have my work space, my work friends, and then I have my real friends. It's not going to be good. You're not going to have genuine, authentic trust and community in the place that you need it. And that a lot of times is with the people that you work with. You got to be on the journey with them as well. Here's number four, you're trustworthy. I love this one. Trust is that thing that no one walks up to you and says, hey, so I'll let you know, I really trust you. And nobody walks up to you and goes, hey, I just want to let you know, I wouldn't trust you with a 10-foot pole. Trust is that thing that is unspoken, but is, how do I say it? It's everything. It is your make or break. You're either trusted with private information because you're a vault, because you're a person that protects others, or you're that person that you're just, come on, man. You're the first to know. Why are you the first to know gossip? Why don't people trust you so much? Because they know what you say here is going to be repeated there. No, become a person. I just know that you get it when you're trustworthy. And find yourself around people that are always bringing you issues and things that they need wisdom on and things they need advice on and help. Why? Because they trust you with private information when you become a person of trust. So make sure you do everything you can to garnish and earn trust in your relationships, trust at your workplace, trust in your community. Become a name that is known for being trustworthy. It will take you so far. Here's the next one, number five. You're an influence. So you're not influenced as much as you are an influence. Jesus is the greatest leader to ever walk the face of the earth. And one of the things I love about him is that he would hang out with notorious sinners and he would hang out with famous sinners, and all the religious people were afraid and they were like, how come you're hanging out with such bad people? But Jesus knew he was getting around them and he wasn't going to be influenced. He was going to influence. He wasn't afraid of them contaminating him. He knew he was going to infuse and inject them with hope and love and life. Always be someone, I know that you get it, when I don't worry when you're hanging out with so-and-so and they're going to influence your attitude and they're going to influence your thinking. And you know, so-and-so was doing good, but then they started hanging out with so-and-so. You got to be very aware of who influences you and who you have the ability to influence. So there's some people I can't influence them. They are who they are. They're going to run that way. They're going to act that way. I just kind of distance myself because I go, you know what? I don't think I'm going to be an influence here. They're going to try and influence me, and maybe I'm not strong enough. Maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I don't have enough favor to be the influence there. So I'm just going to wait it out, and I'm going to go find places to be an influence because I know, I don't care how old you get, all of us are influenced. And we've got to be careful. Choose your influences wisely. I want to be influenced by the right people that lead me down paths of fruitfulness, not paths of barrenness. Here's number six, you're a protector. You are a protector. You kind of police the culture, police the community. I love anyone that has the ability to protect relationships, protect their house. We talked about this two podcasts ago. We were talking about guarding your mouth, guarding your home, guarding your relationships. That protective older brother, I'm going to make sure that I protect what I'm in charge of. I think when you don't get it, people are policing you. When you do get it, you are the police of the culture. Every great organization has some culture carriers that police the culture. And when someone steps out of bounds, people go, we don't talk like that. Around here, we don't have attitudes like that. Nope, we do not gossip. That's not how we roll. No. That's not good. You have got to become a protector of the culture that you're a part of, and you watch, you will gain more trust, you will gain more influence, you'll gain more communication because you're be known for being a protector. I don't want just to, in my leadership, go, this is our vision, values, and standards, and we adhere to these. No. I don't want to just paint the picture. I've got to police anything that is outside of our vision, values, and standards. Not in a bad way, but there's some people in our organization that's like, come on, man. It's not how we're going to roll. That's not how it's going to go down here. And so I think that that is a very big, crucial one. And here is the last one, number seven. My iPad just died, so I am actually pulling out my phone so that I can make sure that I get the seventh. And the last point is a very good one. Number seven, you're positive. See, even with my iPad dying, I stayed positive. You're positive. Positive people get it. Because even when things could get negative and they could get sour and they could go sideways and they could get toxic, they go, you know what? I'm going to rise above my feelings and I'm going to live by my convictions. I have a conviction about being positive. Now, some people just wake up in the morning positive. This is like, you know, happy day. We're going to have fun today. Now, if you're not a positive person, you don't wake up that way. The rest of culture and society are going, phew, that's me too. I don't wake up positive. That's okay. You've got to learn how to get yourself into a positive place every day. So what is it about your morning routine? What is it about your what you listen to? Some people have daily confessions. What do you need to have set up in your life to get you to a positive place every day? Because your life, your family, your company does not deserve 50% batting average. We're not satisfied if, you know, 4 out of 5 days a week, you're positive. You need to be positive every single day to add value, to help others, to contribute wherever you are. It's not like, you know, hey, pretty good. 3 out of 7 days, pretty good. 4 out of... No, no, no. Make a decision every day. I know you get it when you understand the power of positivity, a positive confession, a positive mindset. We talk about this all the time. How's your PMA, your positive mental attitude? You will never surpass your thinking. Now, remember this when it comes to attitude. We can always address bad behavior, but it is hard to fix a bad attitude. If you got little behavior issues, we can address that all day. But if you got a bad attitude, you got to really focus for a season on fixing that attitude and bringing yourself into a positive reputation and lifestyle. It will take you so far. You know what? Being positive, you'll get invited to places. Being positive, people go, I need your energy around. Being positive, it's like, you know what? Just you being here, we're like 10 times better because you carry, it doesn't even talk about your wisdom, your smarts, your talent, your gifting, none of that. It's just you carry positivity. I know you get it when you're positive. I know you completely don't get it when you're a negative Nancy, you're critical, you're harsh, you're mean, and you're cruel. You don't get it. You're not helping anybody, especially you. So learn how to become positive. That's this week's episode. By the way, we're going every week. Every Wednesday, count on it. We're putting out a leadership email and a leadership lean-in every Wednesday. Start tuning in. Hit the subscribe button. Wherever you tune in, hit the subscribe button right now, and we're going to start putting these out once a week. We love you. Have a great day. We'll see you next Wednesday.
Do you ever feel like you want to know more about the Bible, but that it's kind of hard to understand? Do you want to share your faith with your friends, but have a hard time figuring out how to do that? Do you want to learn how to connect the Bible to your real life? Well, then this is the show for you. My name is Rachel, and I'm your host. I've been a children's pastor for a long time, and one of my favorite things is helping kids learn how to understand the Bible. I think that sometimes people think that the Bible is just for adults, but God actually really wants kids to know about Him. So on this podcast, we're going to learn all about God's big story and how He shows Himself to us through the Bible. As we learn together what the stories in the Bible mean, we can learn how to live out our faith in our everyday life. Don't forget to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in the Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in the Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in the Raw through your favorite podcast app.